Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Softball Diaries. I'm your host, Matthew Bukovetsky, joined as always by my co-host, Alex Klugger.
Hey there, Softball Universe. Welcome back to another episode of Softball Diaries, live in Home Base Studios East A1B, I think. Softball Diaries episode 55. Big news, we have Cody Wren live in studio.
That's me. Howdy.
His glorious return to the podcast. It's been a while.
Cody, how's your weekend going?
It's going good. A lot of things going on.
Nice. Have you been looking forward to this podcast for a while?
I did not know I was going to do it. I forgot completely about it till earlier today.
Wow, Cody, we told you to... Yeah, God.
Nah, he's hiding it. I know that he's been preparing.
Buka, he's just been waiting for us to call.
Yeah, I know. Buka, how was the beach today?
The beach was fantastic. Couldn't have asked for better weather.
Did you guys have like a surf montage or anything out there?
If there would, it would have been me getting hit by waves and like winding up on my head a lot. But yeah, it was pretty great.
Yeah, I mean, you can work that into some beach footage, I think.
Well, hell, beach with Gabe Yasky. You can only go so far, huh?
Yeah, Klugger, how'd your fantasy football draft go?
Oh, it's not interesting at all.
Who'd you draft in the first round?
It's an auction draft.
Who's your first pick?
Who's the guy that moved from Miami to Houston? I got that guy. And another guy as well, Andrew Luck. A lot of guys. No women this year on my fantasy football team. I don't know.
So sexist.
All right, so we got two game recaps. We're going to try to do two the last 2 weeks. A lot of fireworks in both those games. Really excited for that. Huge interview that we're rolling out with Cody. Premieres live today. And then hopefully we're going to get a little bit of Matt Kay on the phone, see what he's up to, see where he's going places. Yeah. That's fine. All right, so the first game that we're going to recap chronologically was the most recent one, which is really perfect for us because it was a battle of the podcasters themselves, me versus you.
Yeah, I thought it was going to shape up into a really good game. It turned out not to be a really good game.
We didn't play a lot. Yeah, it was, you know, it was kind of... obviously, I drafted it much better than you, but it ended up not mattering, really. Because
we kept adding people on.
We basically doubled the teams after the draft. Still a fun game. I mean, from my perspective, it's a fun game. I can't speak to... what was your team name?
We were the Sphinx.
Oh, yeah, Sphinxes. I was the Sphinxers. Where's the game recap, by the way?
Oh, yeah, I started to write it. I wound up having to do so much stuff for school. I just didn't have time.
All right, well, we're getting really derailed. So I think that the key to my success, to the Sphinxers' success was you having Gabe Kerryon start as pitcher.
Yeah, I mean, I think he pitched pretty well in the first inning. The second inning was just atrocious and awful. And, you know, I think he's just the guy that you can only really throw out there for one inning at a time. He lost his concentration, and then despite my pleas for him to please take a second between pitches, he's just that guy that, like, as he pitches worse, he just wants to throw it faster and takes less time between pitches. And it just, it spiraled out of control. 5 runs given up, 3 walks in the inning alone. And I think he maybe got lucky that people were swinging at some bad pitches, or he would have walked more people.
He's just not very good as a pitcher. His power numbers more than make up, but like, come on, like that's the only consistency he's had, is that he's gotten into trouble every single game that he's played in.
Yeah, I think recently.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think any pitcher was too effective, at least on your side.
On my side? No. It would be like a thing where we would get 2 outs, and it looked like we would get out of the inning, and then something stupid would happen. Like, Gabe hit Cassie one time.
Yeah.
Like, that sucked, and then the inning continued, and then we kept going. I mean, there's just like a ton of, like, little things that, obviously, if you make all the little mistakes, you're going to wind up losing the game. They're going to turn into big mistakes. A lot of people got hit. Rohan got hit twice in the same at-bat. That broke a record. Most times getting hit, but at-bat.
Not easy out there.
Yeah. So, Rohan, you know, ice up. yeah, a lot of, like, it was kind of weird watching, like, all these, I wonder where all these hit, why was everyone getting beaned out there? What happened?
I don't know, it's just our brand of baseball right now, beanball.
Yeah.
And big also is Matt Kay with 2 triples.
Oh, Matt Kay had a trip, yeah, I mean... 2 triples and a double, I think. I think Gabe Yasky actually was doing his scoring, and he scored his second triple as a double, but I don't.
That's
I think
fine.
It's a
whatever.
Yeah. He still
ends up at third both
times.
He had
a huge game. You know, it's either his last game or penultimate game, depending on if he shows up on Tuesday. So,
got to think he's leaving some in the tank there. I'm not sure why.
I know. He just started looking like he knew what he was doing out there.
All right, so the final score was the Sphincters...
like 12-2 or something. 12-3,
like 12,
maybe.
Maybe 3.
Yeah.
All right, so we're reaching back 2 weeks now, you know, in the depths of our memory. I can barely remember where I was this morning, but this was a game that had the two Zachs face off. Zach Krohn, fresh off of a post-podcast bump, and Zach Gross, fresh off of a plantar wart disability,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
It's really cool that he showed up, and I love Zach versus Zach. That looks, you know, really good on paper.
Yeah, according to their pregame bet, they said that the winner or the loser would have to spell their name that the way the winner does for the rest of their lives.
Oh, I love that. That makes a whole lot of sense
to me. Yeah, so now Zach Gross will from now on have to spell his name Z-A-K, so...
Yeah. So,
sorry, buddy.
This game, similar to the last game we played, is that there was no fences, but this one we at least attempted to put up a fence just because we've had momentum there putting up fences, but the reason why we weren't allowed to put up the fence... was due to a confrontation, let's say, with a local that, you know, doesn't allow us to, even though we respect the field and stuff, she thought that it would be disrespectful or something like that to put those stakes in the ground due to there being literally, and I mean this literally as in literally, a million sprinklers in the field. I have never seen one sprinkler. I don't doubt that there are sprinklers there. I do doubt that there are a million there. I just think it's kind of bullshit. I mean, it's like the default here is that we're like a bunch of disrespectful kids and we don't take care of the field and things like that. And it's like, we probably love that field more than they and we don't take it for granted. In some respects, maybe we do. But at the end of the day, like, we legally have a right to that field just as much as them and we don't get the respect we deserve. I'm frustrated with that.
Yo, take that ball from him. He's bleeding all over it. Yeah, Sparta's chewing...
Spartacus.
I mean, that lady is just, she's really got it in for us at this point. And you know what, like, screw her, she's not, I don't like her.
Alright, so Zach is a rookie, Zach the rookie captain, I thought, did a great job. He kept, you know, morale high best he could. He was shuffling people around the field, put together a team. I think that they won, so that there's that. And, yeah, he tried to make me play first, which it's like, dude, I'm not going to play first, but...
That is an interesting choice.
Like, you know, do whatever you want to do. So the big thing is the fact that we couldn't put the fence up, so the fence was just kind of a clump in the back, and there wasn't really clear rules. Like, Tom Kelly hit one that bounced over the fence in the first inning, ended up at third. Later on, it turned into a ground rule double that the Zachs agreed on, but failed to communicate that, which really ended up being leading to an interesting but all but useless moment where Justin Scherr hit a ball that bounced over the fence. So in theory, ground rule double, but no one was really aware of that. So he played it straight up, and he was running towards home. Ball comes in, Matt Smith covering. There's a collision, a little bit dangerous play. Both kind of pissed off. But it was ready to rule a ground rule double. Really could have saved a whole lot of, scary little moment there.
If we had just known it was a ground rule
double. Hate to see a little bit collisions, yeah. But, you know, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of players. I thought the Zachs handled the situation pretty well.
Yeah, and then Scherr did get his home run later in the game, too. So, really did. I'm glad that it worked out without. But, like, that kind of stunk that there was a completely needless collision, considering he just had to go back to second base.
I agree. I thought that there was going to be some broken wrists or something. It looked dangerous.
Yeah, it did look dangerous. I didn't like the fence flat thing. It created more confusion than anything, I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, like, it's true. The fence is blowing in, but something that we try to do, and, you know, we didn't have it this time or the most recent game, worked out just fine.
Yeah.
What do you think the final score of this game was?
I think it was really close. I think it was like a 6-5 game or something like that. It was a little farther than that.
I think that the Zach Krohns were up by a good amount, and then the Zach Grosses came back, and then the Zach Krohn's.
It might have been like nine to five or something.
Did Siebel hit like a 3-run home run that went away?
I think there were two home runs.
Oh wait, there wouldn't have been a home run. I think I'm thinking of another.
No, it was, there were two home runs in the final innings. The Justins, Siebel and Scher both had a home run in the final frame. I think it wound up being like 9-5 in the end or something like that.
Sweet. Do you have any idea what the names were? Oh, the Washington Bashfuls.
Yeah.
Versus.
Oof, that's tough.
I'm sure it was hilarious.
I'm sure it wasn't.
All right, Cody, you ready?
It was the Philadelphia Beagles.
Beagles? I doubt that.
Bagels. Philadelphia Bagels. Yeah.
Bagels. Oh yeah, fucking cream cheese over here.
Yeah.
But I feel like she's sometimes thinking that same thing. You're two in one mind, or you're two of a kind.
Live in studio, Cody, the
closer,
Ren.
Giving his own introduction, nickname. Making his triumphant return.
Cody, how's it going?
Going really well. How's it going with you?
It's good. Cody, the characteristic...
Hey, we ask the questions. We ask the questions.
The characteristic that most defines you, I think, is that you're an artistic soul. Of that, you know, you're definitely most musically inclined. But I'm just wondering, if you had to pursue another artistic pursuit, what would it be?
I'd be a painter.
Painter. Why a painter?
I find it amazing that somebody can envision something in their mind and then put it onto a canvas via paint.
Speak a little bit louder.
I find it amazing.
I know. I think I don't. You know, for, just for the future. What style? You've done some painting, right?
I've done a little bit of painting.
What are some, you know, classics that you've learned from?
I don't think that you should learn from anything. I think that you got to find your own voice and just, you know, experience painting through trial and error. I mean, a lot of people will go to school, they'll do all that, but, you know, I mean, you can learn on your own.
What's a piece that you're most proud of?
The piece that I'm most proud of?
Yeah, how would you, how would you describe your paintings?
I only paint women.
You only paint women, and it's usually, you know, provocative.
A lot of profiles, some more provocative than others, but those are the things that I find interesting in art. So that's why I like to paint it. That's what I, when I paint, I, for some reason, it's so enthralling. Like, it's just such a fulfilling experience. I don't even have the time to do it anymore, and I wish I did, though.
Hmm.
Well, you know, you gotta make time for the things that you care about in life.
True.
So
what are you trying to say through your art? Does it not have a message? Is it just for you?
It's absolutely just for me.
Okay.
That's beautiful. So, longtime listeners of Softball Diaries will realize that this is actually your second time on the SD. Way back, episode 7 in 2012, that was a big episode for us.
Yes.
I have fond memories of it.
Back in the original home base studios.
Yeah, exactly. I don't even think it was called that back then. What have you been up to since we last spoke?
What have I been up to since we last spoke? A little bit of jail time, lots of drugs, and I suppose that's it, really.
All right. I don't really know exactly the best follow-up to that, but you've been out of jail for a couple months now, right?
8 months.
Yeah. So, wow. How do you feel, you know, looking back, even though it's not that far in your rear view mirror, how do you feel right now looking back at that?
Oh, great. Great. No regrets. I couldn't have enjoyed, or not enjoyed, but took away what I did from that experience. I don't know of anybody who might have took away more.
Okay. So great. You feel like you're in a different place now, though, right?
Absolutely.
Feel like it's all positive?
Everything. The thing about bad feelings is they don't last. In the past 8 months, I think I've been sad maybe once.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So, your sad feelings don't last, but they also don't even occur.
Not really, no, to be honest with you. Like, in terms of, you know, being sad or, you know, what have you, I would say the feeling that I feel most that compares to that is boredom.
Boredom. Okay, I can totally relate with that. But I feel like what you're talking about is saying that, like, instead of feeling sad or upset or depressed about yourself, funnel that energy into a positive sort of thing. Don't waste your time with it.
Not necessarily. I just, like, I mean, it's kind of, it might sound strange. I just don't even feel those things anymore. Like, it's, you know, I just have too much going on, too many positive things. You know, I work, write music, hang out with friends.
Right. So wait, how long were you in for total?
Just under 3 years.
Okay, what do you think changed the most from before going? I'm not saying about you, but I just mean, like, what have you noticed about the world or Philadelphia that's changed the most?
Absolutely nothing at all.
It's nothing
exactly
at all?
The same, except now there's Tinder.
Yeah.
And you can use
that's
that.
Something. That's something that changed.
That's, well, that's the one thing. And Tinder is shooting fish in a barrel.
Yeah?
Nice.
You think you've perfected the Tinder profile?
No, my Tinder profile says art and music. The thing about Tinder, you remember The Social Network, right? Okay, the scene, Jesse Eisenberg, or, you know, he's playing Mark Zuckerberg, he makes that thing where, you know, I don't like this face, I do like this face.
Yeah.
That's exactly what Tinder is. You know, it's not about what you say. I don't read anybody's profile. I swipe left or I swipe right. You know?
Yeah, I don't think
anyone reads any profile.
You
so.
Do,
it,
maybe
it's,
make
I don't know, I've been in a relationship since Tinder was a thing.
Right.
Since before Tinder was a thing.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, maybe afterwards you read whatever they wrote or whatever, but, you know, you don't really know a person until you meet them anyway. What Tinder is based on is you judge this person on their looks.
Yeah. So, well, maybe you could super like somebody. That really means something in these days.
Super likes don't work. Super likes don't work because they're like, Jesus Christ, this person's super liking.
Yeah, I don't think I would.
I had one person accept a super like. I'm so weary to even do it. Like, sometimes I want to, I'm like, I should use it. I can do it. Why don't I do it?
I don't think I would like it. You don't want to come off as
desperate. Although, yeah. It's like, if you're on Tinder, I don't really understand what the, like, who really cares about that.
Exactly.
But I guess some of the social norms still exist out there.
Because that's how people are. I mean, like, you don't want to seem like you're too desperate. So the fact that somebody else seems so desperate on this thing seems too desperate.
Yeah, well,
I feel like I understand.
Like,
a lot of people might not be too desperate on this. You know, I don't feel too desperate on it.
Well, you can, you know, the whole thing about social media, which I'm going to include Tinder and social media, is that you can really manufacture an exact look about what you want to be, regardless of what you are in actuality in real life. So if
right.
you're not meeting a majority of these people, you really are making generalizations about who they're projecting themselves to be.
Right.
But I mean, that's kind of the power of Tinder, right?
Like, I suppose so.
You're meeting up with an aspirational self, not a real person.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So changing the subject completely. how do you feel about rap music?
I don't love it. It's okay. I like the Wu-Tang Clan, 36 Chambers.
Okay.
It's a
phenomenal album.
I like...
Who's your favorite Wu-Tang member?
Come on. What's his name? Old Dirty Bastard.
Okay. Yeah, like, come on. Yeah, like,
come on.
There's a lot of good ones. That's all I ask the question.
ODB.
Hey, GZA. Hey, GZA.
Listen, it's all good, but when ODB gets on the mic,
I like Ghostface. Ghostface is my favorite.
Yeah, Ghostface is pretty good.
Anyway. Yeah, that's neither here nor there.
But, you know, I like that. I like Tribe Called Quest, Low End Theory.
Yeah.
I like a lot of more older...
Do you think that you just haven't put the time into the recent stuff, or you just don't give a shit, which is
like... The recent stuff is just like... And I'm like...
You sound like my grandpa.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was actually Migos, I think, that you were saying. I think you were saying Versace.
Oh, my... Can I tell you this? I have this idea...
Versace, Medusa, I'm Illuminati.
About the Versace song.
Versace.
It's just like, okay, so imagine, you know, 1975. We got... And then in my mind, Jewish producers, right? And they go, you know, you have these kids come in, like, listen, I got a song. Like, well, great, I want to hear it. Can you show me this song? And they go, okay... This is the chorus. We're just going to do the chorus for you. And then they go, Versace, 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 Versace. And
yeah.
To me, it's not a song. It's somebody saying Versace over and over again. Same thing with that Hannah Montana song. Hannah Montana.
Like, not familiar with that one, but I mean...
I think it's the guys who invented the dab thing who did Hannah Montana. I don't know. Don't quote me on that.
Wasn't that the Migos?
I think
that was Migos, actually.
You're a huge fan of Migos, dude.
I'm not a huge fan of Migos.
I don't like, so the Migos is like, they're like, we're part of the Illuminati, which is like, dude, like, no,
you're not.
No, you're not. Like, if you're, like, being so, like, blatantly about, like, making all these statements about it, it's like, no, you're not. Alright, so Philadelphia is the place where you're living right now. It's the place you call home. It's the place you move back to after prison. What makes Philly special to you?
What makes Philly special to me? I mean, the question is almost irrelevant to me because I cannot leave. I can't go certain places. So it's kind of like I have to live here. But, you know, this is where I grew up. This is where everybody I know lives and, you know, the city that I know. So, you know, I like it because as much as, you know, it used to be, you know, kind of a bad city and, like, there was bad neighborhoods, I've never been, you know, treated badly. I've never, you know, overtly at least. But, you know, every city's got its flaws. I mean, you know, I've discovered in the travelings across America that I have done that everywhere is exactly the same. There's just a bunch of the same going on. Yeah, it's cool. Like, you know, when you go to someplace new, it seems cool, you know, because it's just a new place. But at the end of the day, it's exactly the same.
Yeah, man. I got strong opinions about that as well. And basically, I agree with you 100%. A lot of people visit cities or different cities on vacation. So where money's not necessarily as much on their mind, they don't have to work, things like that. So it ends up being a very positive light to the place that you spend most of your time. I also feel like in terms of sameness of experiences across different metropolitan areas is that it's very much true. It's things are what you make of it. And if you can't make it in a city, I think going to another city is like, I mean, you have the ability to reinvent yourself or whatever. But
it's like saying you couldn't hack it. You couldn't hack it with whatever people or whatever situation you were in. And you know what? You can hack it. You're just choosing not to. And that's all well and good. I'm fine with that.
Yeah,
doesn't
I agree.
Sound like you're fine with
that. I mean, at the same time, though, I really definitely do love certain cities and don't like certain other cities. So I'm like, you know, a hypocrite.
Absolutely.
It's different living in a city versus just visiting. Like, if you're visiting a city, you cannot like it because it's different. It's not like you can't hack it there. It's just that you just... the vibe you're getting... cities give off different vibes, I think.
No, absolutely. And that's true. But in the terms of, you know, why would I ever move to a different city? And the answer is probably no. I'll probably live in Philadelphia my whole life.
There you go.
You're right here, folks.
This first call. I had a great call like that. Shot me in the shit out of my head. Call it hurry.
Your nickname is Kaboder, which just sounds like just Cody said in a funny way, but is there anything more to that nickname?
Actually, there is. My father gave me that nickname when I was a kid. There was a front-end loader company called Kaboder.
Front-end loader Kaboder.
Front-end loader Kaboder. So they would say chubby, chubby, front-end loader Kaboder. That's what they call me that. They would call me Boder or Kaboder.
Can I call you front-end loader?
You can call me whatever you want.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's where that nickname comes from. My father gave it to me. Like, all my family members still call me it when I see them. They were calling me it today. I saw my family members call me Kaboder.
It's exclusively Kaboder around your family?
Yeah, well, like, a lot... some people just say Boder. Some people say Kaboder. So, yeah, that's where that comes from, though. A lot of people don't know that. They think it's just made up.
Well, yeah.
What about the first band that I remember you being in, the Psychedelegates? Is there any sort of, other than the fact that it kind of sounds like whatever, hallucinogens or whatever, is there any sort of other thinking behind that name?
Going the like Psychedelegates?
A decade plus back, yeah.
Well, the Psychedelegates was not a band that I came up with the title for.
Oh, was it Ben Ruby or?
No, it was not. I used to hang with a family called the Woolsleys, and I knew them through Luke Vile, who was Kurt Vile's brother. He was dating Kristen, and I was dating Kara. Kristen Woolsley. And Kara Woolsley.
Kristen and Kara, the Woolsley twins.
All of them, like, there was two other sisters, all K names, kind of like how me and my brother are Casey and
like
Cody.
Like Virgin Suicides, kind of.
Yes.
The Woolsleys. So, actually, what's the family name of the Virgin Suicides? Are you just describing the Virgin Suicides?
I am not describing the Virgin Suicides.
I know.
So Kristen, she played guitar, and like I had just started playing guitar, and you know we would write songs and stuff together, and she ended up coming with the name the Psychedelegates, and she stopped playing music, and I just kept it. Like that was my first band, me and her, and we'd make tape set, you know, recordings and stuff like that. But after that, I just took the name. She stopped. I continued.
Nice. Yeah, that was interesting. all right. So in terms of any classes you remember from high school or prison, is there any sort of classes that you would wish you could take over again or that you really found interesting and would like to pursue further?
Pursue further, I would say. I need to finish my NCCER electrical book so I can become certified in that.
There you go. That's a good answer for your mom.
Yeah, it really is. But I mean, it's not an answer for my mom. It's an answer for me.
Yeah. Know?
But
what about like an independent study that you want to pursue on your own?
No. I mean, I don't know. I can't say right now. No, I don't care to go back to school, nor do I want to.
I'm in the same boat.
Who, at the end of the day, like, I don't need any more debt. And, like, if anything, people are getting out of college now and not doing anything with their degrees, it seems like. For the most, I mean, I hear too much about it to brush it off and say, like, oh, that's not a thing. You know, because I know a lot of people get out of college, they get a job for what they went to school for and stuff. But a lot of people also go to college for fucking useless degrees.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the perception around that you have to go to college to be some of these things is really wrong and ends up being amount of debt and something that you're just never going to use, but it's hard. It's slightly better than it was, like, let's say, like, eight years ago.
I wouldn't know. Honestly, I just always want, I don't need that much debt. I don't know what I would even go to school for. I've always been just rather work weird jobs, make enough money to do what you want to do.
Yeah. You know? Well, hopefully, you know, when Bernie Sanders becomes president, #, keep Bernie Sanders alive.
Feel the burn.
Yeah. College will be free for everybody, and it'll be important again when it's free, I'm sure.
Right.
Who needs undergrad when you can do grad school?
Yeah. Great. So what's the best concert that you've ever been to?
Best concert I've ever been to? Ooh, I like that question. Probably a Devendra Banhart concert.
Not surprised.
Very into Devendra Banhart. I mean, okay, I'm 15 years old. Go see Devendra Banhart. Get invited on stage. Play a song. Kurt Vile's there. Kurt Vile knows me. Runs through the crowd up to the front of the stage. You know, it's just really cool. Like, 15-year-old kid on stage at, you know, the TLA.
Yeah.
Mind-blowing. You know?
That's pretty cool.
They wrote it up in the paper. They talked about it in the paper like some kid of
the... They put it in the paper.
Some kid of the Coca-Cola
shirt. Front page.
Not front page. Whatever, you know, in the arts and...
Local terrorist interrupts.
I'm very distracted by Tiana Taylor's
book. But, yeah.
It is.
That was a very, very cool show. I'll always remember that show.
Wow. Okay. Tony, you got a lot of body art. Do you have a favorite piece?
Favorite piece of body art. While in prison, I got tattooed by the head of the white supremacists. He did several of my tattoos. I'll tell you something, okay? Like, yeah, that sounds bad. Like, what are you doing hanging out with white
doesn't
supremacists?
Doesn't sound great, but...
Okay, listen, I went to the man for his work. He did good work. Everybody else did, like, graffiti-style tattoos. Okay? And, like, you know what? I'm just not into graffiti-style tattoos. Like, I like to... I bring you a picture. I want the picture onto my skin. And I was reading a lot of Jack Kerouac at the time. And on the back of one of Jack Kerouac's books, a tattoo artist actually had made the front and back cover. And on the back cover was a bottle showing the bridge at Big Sur, the surf and everything. But, like, you know, inside the bottle looks like the ocean. And that's, I asked him to do it. And actually, it looks very good. It doesn't look bad. You know what I mean? You have to look at it at first to see what it is, but he kept telling me it was a diamond idea.
Diamond idea?
How many swastikas did he say? No swastikas.
There might be a few hidden in there, but that's on him, not on you.
He did say to me numerous times, he would say, you know, the first time I went in there, he says, he, you know, tries to start talking to me about the blood, like, oh, the blood, the purity of the blood. I'm like, yeah, man, the blood, man, I get it, man, whatever, you know. Next time I went in, he says to me, I ask him, I say, Jay, what are you going to do when you get out? And he says, I'm going to sell drugs. And I'm like, all right, well, you got to do what you got to do. Sell drugs, man. I'm not trying to, this guy was like burly and
buff. In general, my experience with white supremacists is I shouldn't disagree with them to their face.
No, right, yeah. I say to him, I'm like, yeah, well, okay, sell drugs. Do whatever you want to do. And he's like, well, I'm not going to sell drugs. My girlfriend's going to sell drugs. I'm like, hey, man, you know, have your girlfriend sell drugs. You know, do whatever you want to do. And then he's like,
where are you going?
And then he says to me, well, if a cop ever comes up to my girlfriend, you know, and tries to stop him from selling drugs, I'm gonna kill the cop. And I'm like, dude, like, whatever, man, kill the cop, whatever you gotta do. Like, that's all well and good, man.
This is going somewhere, right?
Is this like the way most conversations in prison go? You're just like, yeah, dude, sounds cool.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. If I was like, first of all, if you weren't burly and like crazy looking or something, then most likely you were a normal person. But the big burly cats in jail just like, yeah, okay, cool, 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 cool. That's the only way you talk to them. Or at least I did.
Nice. So what was he in for?
I don't know. Usually you ask somebody what they're in for only if you live in a cell with them. As in, you don't want a pedophile or a rapist living in a cell with you. So if somebody moves into your cell, you ask them for their paperwork. And if their paperwork says something, you go up to the sergeant. I need this guy out of my cell. Which happened to me once. It happened to me. Like, they just moved some random guy into my cell. Asked to see his paperwork, showed me his paperwork. He had some pedophilia charges. I went right to the sergeant. I said, this guy does not live in my cell. He needs to go right now. And they got him out immediately.
Wow.
Ugh.
Yeah, rough, right? It's rough.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. What else do I got for you? Do you want to talk about handball?
Sure.
All right.
Let's talk about a real game, handball. I got to tell you, there's no other game that I've ever played in my goddamn life that is more active, fun, and just like, once you get into that game, it is the most competitive, aggressive game that you will ever play. But at the same time, it is like, it is the most, you're just so cool. It doesn't matter who you're playing. I remember when I played handball in jail, like, I hit a couple people swinging for the handball a couple times. A couple people I did not want to hit, and they couldn't have been cooler about it. They're like, all right, man, it's all good, like, you know, but I love that game. I got Gabe playing. Gabe's playing. He's all right. He needs to wear a glove because his hand gets all tender from hitting the ball so much.
Yeah, a lot of people wear gloves.
Yeah, I don't wear gloves. I like the control. But
okay.
Enrique played with us. It was me and Steve. Steve was like, I'm not really going to do anything.
That's a good Steve impression.
That was a good Steve
impression. I'm not really going to do anything. I'm just going to stand here.
Actually, your face looks like him. It's good.
And I was like, okay. Great, you're on my team, Steve. Enrique and Gabe, they want to play. We'll verse them.
Ultimate power move right there.
Basically, it's just me against Gabe and Enrique.
Yeah, I get it.
And then after I smothered them several times.
Okay.
It was actually a tender moment. Not a tender moment, but it was a rough moment. Gabe went to go for the ball, ran back, and I just had my feet planted because Enrique already missed it. So Gabe goes running for it, runs into my shoulder. Damn near runs into a brick wall, let me tell you.
Oh, shit.
Glasses come off, whole thing. Freaks out. Throws his glasses on the ground. I'm like, dude, I'm sorry, you know what I mean? I didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't run into you. He got very upset at me, and I kind of resent that, you know?
You said it was a tender moment.
I misspoke. Not tender.
I was like waiting for you guys to like hug it out or something. No,
he became tender after that. And I said, I'm like, dude, I'm sorry, you know, I didn't want anybody to get hurt, you know.
Heat of the moment, you guys are very competitive.
You tried to get me to play one time, and I'm worried about my knees at the sudden stops and starts of that it requires, but you kept on telling me about a one-legged guy you would play in prison.
One of the best guys I ever played, he had one fake leg. And this man was everywhere. Not running, not doing anything. He just stayed close to the wall and would just use his arms, just stretching out.
Oh, I'm suddenly extremely interested.
Yeah. If you're good enough, you don't have to run.
I love a good alt sport where I don't really have to run.
Yeah. Well, it's in the Olympics, isn't it?
There is a handball in the Olympics.
That's
handball.
The smaller ball.
No, this is team handball.
I don't know exactly the rules of the handball you're talking about, but I do know the rules of that game. That's like on a basketball court, soccer style, basketball style, with some scoring and some places where you can't go.
It's team handball.
It's like, what is it, 6-on-6?
Yes, it's something.
Really?
Like, yeah. 5-on-5 with goalie.
Yeah, it's closer to a hockey than it is like a racket.
What I play, which
yeah, it's
is like...
It's almost like a racket sport,
yeah,
but with
like
no racket.
Tennis at the wall is what I play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My mother doesn't know how she feels, and my brother, well, his face sealed, and my father, well,
So do you have any advice for your younger self that you would, what you would give yourself?
I've heard that question before, and honestly, no, I don't, because I wouldn't be the person I am now without my younger self, so I don't want to change anything, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way, but I also, like, there's a part of me that always feels like whoever, I'm always extremely happy with the person that I am right now, but then when I look back in on myself, who I was 6 months ago, 3 years ago, a couple weeks ago, I always feel like I could have been, like, better, but I don't really take that back as if it's something that I should have been at the time. Yeah. I'm always...
Cody, let's think about it. How about you think about it this way? Instead of, like, being like, hey, like, don't do drugs or something like that.
That's a shitty question.
There's something that I picture in my mind, which is there's an old man on his deathbed. Now, the old man on his deathbed doesn't say, I regret the things I did. I regret the things I didn't do.
Right.
So I'd like to be that man.
That sounds good.
Does not have regrets.
Okay.
Yeah, which totally makes sense. Why would you ever want to have any regrets at all, regardless of whatever happens? All right, so real cutting question. Do you prefer The Muppets or Sesame Street?
Muppets, absolutely. Muppets is for adults more so than children. At least it was when it came out. They have that new Muppet show on whatever, CBS.
It got canceled. That was a weird fucking show because they introduced a second pig that Kermit was in love with. It's like, why?
Yeah, I don't understand. I didn't even watch it. I was like, whatever, it's cool they're doing stuff, but it's just never going to be the same thing. At least not today in the modern times we're in today.
Yeah.
You know, probably it's just never going to work. So, I mean, it's great they're still doing stuff. I've seen the Muppets movie with Jason Segel. It was cool.
That was a good movie. It was better than the second one they made with Tina Fey. That was a weird movie. Although, not bad. Just, like, not really worth my time.
Right, I agree.
My time's valuable.
Yeah.
All right, how do you feel about roller coasters?
Love them. Love roller coasters.
What's your favorite roller coaster?
I don't have one because I don't remember any of their names.
Okay. How about you describe one of the ones that we went to Doheny Park? Which one gave you the biggest thrill?
I guess that, what was it, like the Havoc? Or like, it was something like that, right?
Describe
what it
was. The green
one that was like flips and turns. Like,
was that like Hydra?
Hydra.
You liked Hydra.
I liked Hydra. That was a cool one. I like going on all of them. That's the thing.
What about the one that was like straight up and then like you go really fast and like backwards?
Yeah, you go back and they do the curl thing.
Was that scary? No.
I mean, listen, they're not letting you get on this thing if it isn't safe. You know what I mean? It's a rush. You know what I mean? It's a dangerous
rush. Pure adrenaline, baby.
Pure adrenaline. And, you know, it's there for fun. You know, I mean, I can't believe that people get as scared as they do about roller coasters.
Are you not scared of heights at all?
The entertainment value of roller coasters is that you're scared beforehand. Usually, if you're not scared, the roller coasters are not that much fun. And I know that you won't admit to being scared, but you get at least a little bit nervous beforehand. It's not like you like being like, I'm out of this, but like...
I don't. I am the one who runs to the roller coaster. I'm like, let's get on.
But you still like, the whole point is the adrenaline rush. And the adrenaline rush is because your body feels tense about it.
I suppose in the sense that you're being forced down when like you're moving
and
fast.
And it's anticipation. They could make them go up faster if you wanted to, but that anticipation is the best part about most
rides.
That's why
some of those roller coasters have like as you're going up, it like tells you like you're at the same height as the Eiffel, you know, like stuff like that, because they're trying to get the anticipation. They're really trying to get your blood going, you know. Like that's why they're there. It's just, I mean, you can enjoy it for whatever reason you want. Cody, what conspiracy theory do you know is true?
What conspiracy theory do I know is true? I mean, I used to get really into conspiracy theories.
I know.
I used to get so into them, and like I'm kind of off of them now.
Okay.
Like,
I'm sorry. I don't mean to drag you back in.
I was talking to Evan Bernard and Greg Mendez the other day about the moon landing, whether or not we think it's fake.
Yeah, okay.
And you know, there's evidence on both aisles, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, I could believe why it's fake, I could believe why it's real. You know, maybe you wanted to bankrupt the Soviet Union, that's why you did it. JFK did some weird stuff, I don't know. I can't say, you know, but they had the technology to fake it. If you got the technology to go to the moon, you got the technology to fake it, you know?
Sure.
So
yeah.
So none that you're 100% sure about?
No, I don't think there's anything I'm sure about. If anything, now I'm kind of like a conspiracy denier. Like,
okay.
I'm like, come on, man. Like, you know, as much as I would like to go down the rabbit hole, I just don't anymore.
I do like the idea of someone's like, yo, dude, I have evidence that that we're controlled by a hyper-intelligent old lizard species. And you're like, probably not, dude. And
the reptilians.
The reptilians. And the person's like, oh, I guess you're right, it is weird.
if there is one, it's the First World Order. I feel that's probably pretty true, Rockefeller and all those people, just basically central bank talk, you know.
But that's not even conspiracy theory, that's true. The rich get richer and control, the whole, that's already happening.
It is true,
that's what the 1% is, it already is true.
There isn't a real face on it. And people
sure
do
it is.
Treat
like the
it.
IMF, the fucking World Economic Forum.
All well and good, but not a lot of people know what that is.
There's secret airports that they use. It's they don't go to our airports. Oh,
here we go. Turns out Puggies are conspiracy theorists.
This is a conspiracy, man. This is true.
Someone get the straitjacket.
Open your eyes. That sounds exactly how people talk about conspiracies, so...
Yeah. Are you down with TPP?
What's TPP?
I'm not going to get... The trans...
I'm not going to get into it.
The Pacific Pact, which I think just... Whatever. Yeah. All right. What about... You believe dinosaurs existed, though?
Absolutely.
But, they could have buried the bones. Have you ever seen a dinosaur
bone? Who could have buried the bones? And for what reason? What
purpose? The Rockefellers.
No, the Rockefellers ain't burying no bones.
I mean, bones? They could do trade bones.
You asking me
They could spur economic development in various places because they're there are bones here, man.
You're asking me... Basically, what you're asking me is, do you believe the world is 6,000 years old? And no, I don't. I believe that
5,000.
Billions of years old.
Yeah.
No, 6,000. That's what they say in the Bible. They say that it's 6,000 years old.
Yeah, but no one thinks that's true.
That's definitely not true.
So many people think that's true.
I know.
Have you been to the ark that dude built in the
Kentucky?
I haven't, but I know that dude doesn't believe it either, because that dude's just trying to make a buck.
Well, he's failing apparently right now.
Well, I mean, it's a stupid idea.
It is a stupid idea, but
you
might also fucking believe it.
The execution is really well. You have to believe it if you're in with $100 million ark in the middle of Tennessee. Is it
Kentucky?
Kentucky. Sorry to all our Tennessee listeners. Okay, who do you think is the best drummer in Philadelphia right now?
Best drummer in Philadelphia? Good question. I mean, there's so many. It depends on styles and stuff. I know Zach Bone's good. I like Steve Ergo. He's very good.
Shout out.
I like Adam Ferguson, who
Say, you better say that.
He's good. Dan Angel. I feel like Dan Angel is up there for me. Dan Angel slams drums. He's really good. Tom Kelly. Very good. Mike Kelly's brother. He's about to go on tour with Alex G.
I don't know who that is.
And play drums.
Not softball, but you know that there is a softball Tom Kelly.
Tom Kelly.
Yeah, probably confused everybody.
The band, you remember Snoozer?
Yeah.
Snoozer, yeah, the drummer from Snoozer. He's tenfold even better than he was back then. Amazing drummer.
Wow. No mention of Zach Crone.
Or Evan Bernard.
Ooh, rivalry.
Bernard's good.
Or
Cody.
I'm surprised you didn't say yourself.
Well, okay, first of all, I am a whatever drummer. Evan Bernard is the kind of drummer who, he plays it straight. He does his little accents and stuff like that. But in terms of, to me, when I think of a good drummer, I think fucking fast. They play fast and hard, and that's what is a good drummer to me. Also, the kind of drummers that I like for my kind of music, they play straight. You know what I mean? And to me, it should not be hard to play straight. So that doesn't make you a great drummer, that you know how to play exactly what is needed, not overkill. But the overkill drummers who play fast, loud, hard, those ones are blows your mind.
Yeah, I agree.
So do you want to talk to us about your writing process a bit in terms of composing music or lyrics? I don't know anything about it.
Sure, I'll talk to you about it. I always come up with guitar parts first. Sometimes, it's really... it can be easy. I'll get lyrics right away. I used to only record and I would record lyrics on the fly. I would have no lyrics written down and it's all just off the top of the head. I can't do that as well as I used to. I can't do it as well as I used to. So now I write down lyrics. If I don't, sometimes I'll figure it out. I'll just play a song enough and then find something I want to say or I like the way it sounds with the song. and you know, continue to keep doing that and then build something around that. But what I did when I was in jail, I wrote 115 songs when I was in jail, and like in 115 songs over the course of 2 years, you're gonna kind of run out of things to say and come up with. So what I started doing was writing songs from the perspective of somebody else. One of my favorite songs I wrote when I was in jail is about like a woman in an abusive relationship who knows it's a bad relationship and this guy's like bad for her, but like she has these irrational fears about the world, like zombies and, you know, just weird stuff. So she like trusts him in that sense to keep her safe and stays in the relationship even though it isn't good for her.
Neat, nice. Yeah, and some interesting complexity there. I was going to ask you, like, do you think that your creative process was altered at all while your time in jail versus outside of the slammer?
Well, I had a year...
Way to call it the slammer.
Close to a year, like, you know, from when I was arrested to before I got to my home jail. And at my home jail was when I was able to get a guitar. And that was about a year in time.
Yeah.
So I didn't play guitar for about a year, but I was kind of writing songs in my head. I can just hear songs and envision the whole, what it would sound like. So by the time I got guitar, the first time I played it again, it was, you know, I was a little nervous. Like, you know, I had to go out in the yard. Somebody had one. I said, hey, man, can I see it? And, you know, it was like riding a bike. I didn't forget anything. But to me, songwriting, I've changed the throughout my career of, you know, writing music, I guess, it's always changing. It's always moving forward. Like, you know, as I change, the music changes.
That's beautiful. Okay, so we're going to get into softball questions in a second, but before we do, is there anything, me personally, that I don't know about you that I should know?
Anything that you don't know about me that you should know? Secretly, I'm a little bit naive.
That's amazing.
I love that. Okay, great.
Thank you so much for that.
Okay, I'm satisfied with that answer. Okay, softball questions. Do you care about hitting or pitching more? Or fielding? I don't think it's fielding, though.
You know, I'm really disappointed in the way that I've been hitting recently, as I had a really strong run where, like, I found out I'm a speed runner.
Okay.
Like, hit the ball, like, every single time I've ever gotten on base, it's by me, probably an error somewhere, and me just running as fast as I can to first base.
That's a huge aspect of the game. I mean, that's not to be understated. And, like, some people feel like, oh, I only get on base when there's, like, an error or I have to, like, beat it out. It's like, that's how people get hits in the game. Like,
I tell Zach Gross all the time, Moneyball, Zach, Moneyball.
But nobody knows
Gross.
What you mean when you say Moneyball.
It means get on fucking base is what it means. It doesn't matter how you get
on
base.
They usually call that small ball.
Zach Gross is definitely not a Moneyball player at
all. Moneyball is usually...
Maybe, actually.
The time I started calling him Moneyball was the time he got walked, like, twice, almost three times in one game.
Yeah. That's a combination of small ball and Moneyball, actually, he's describing.
Sure.
So, then, how do you feel about your pitching right now?
First of all, maybe it's only me who calls myself the closer, but...
It is only you.
The last game that I played, that I pitched, Buco was supposed to pitch. I said, what, I'm not going to pitch? I got to pitch 3 outs. No runs scored. I think I walked one person.
Yeah.
I think it was my first...
Your team was down by like 11 runs.
I did hit, listen, okay, when I hit Stephanie...
There was almost nothing on the line there.
There was nothing on the line.
Slow pitch.
But, like, don't hurt Stephanie.
I didn't want... It wasn't on purpose.
Don't hit Stephanie. Yeah,
it was the first pitch.
There was no close situation there.
Yeah, first, second pitch I threw, and I'm a slow pitch. You know what I mean? I don't really try to throw it too fast or go as fast as
guile.
Anybody else.
You rely on guile.
Yeah, but, you know, people don't really know how to hit the slow ball sometimes, it seems like, and it worked out in the last game. We got... You know, nobody scored, and that was the only inning I think our team
probably
didn't have any run score.
You should be clean sheet, Cody.
Yeah, so, you know what? That looks like a closer to me. Last inning, I pitch it, no one scores.
Usually closers come in when the team's up, though, just in general. Generally speaking, I'm not taking away either way. I think you pitched great. It felt good to get out of an inning clean. I think it was a moral victory for our team, but I'm taking that to the bank.
Rightly so.
Yeah. Cody, who's your favorite teammate? Who do you like to play alongside, you know?
Who do I like to play alongside? I always like to be on your team, Buco.
Oh, thank you.
Classic answer.
But I, I always like, I wish I played against Gabe more, if I can say that. I like to be on Kate's team. I like to be on Kate's team a lot because, A, she's just kind of funny, and, like, I just kind of like messing with her. Like, the whole, I don't really mess with her. I just like talking to her and, you know, playing around. But she'll get mad at me. She'll get mad at me when I'm talking to her about stuff. I don't know why. You know, like,
I think it's because you're giving her advice that she doesn't feel she's unsolicited, if you will.
Yeah, well, because I feel like, you know, with a lot of people, this can, you know, stem from myself. I see it in a lot of people who play the game. You can have all the advice and, like, do it, like, you know, when nothing's on the line. But as soon as everything's on the line, people just fucking fall to pieces. You know, like, as soon as the ball gets hit to you, you just seem somehow forget everything you've ever known and just panic.
Yeah, you see that a lot in fielding. Hitting, it's hard to practice hitting. It's almost, you're almost always on the line there. But fielding, yeah, you can easily have a catch a ball, throw a ball perfectly, and then it's like, suddenly, yeah,
game's,
you know,
on, and
nerds.
It's just like, fall to pieces.
Not everyone can do it. Not everyone can do it.
Yeah.
Not everyone's Beyonce out there.
Nope.
All right. Did you play baseball in prison at all? Any hardball?
They had
and stuff?
They had a softball league. I didn't care to do it. I played handball when I was into pickleball. We actually won a pickleball tournament got $10.
Oh, I was going to ask what it was. It's like 3 months off of your sentence.
Yeah, right. 3 months out, you won your pickleball. But
oh, you're home early. Pickleball champs, babe.
Pickleball champs. But we did that. We did volleyball. I just didn't care for the softball.
Volleyball's like, fun.
Yeah, volleyball was really cool. We came in second place in volleyball. Got $5.
Did you spike it at all?
I did spike.
I can imagine that you were like, people probably want, were like, that dude's tall. Let's get him on the
tall
guy.
Are you still tall in prison?
Yeah, I'm still tall. I'm like a taller white guy, at least. There's some big black cats in jail.
Yeah, that's kind of like the experience I had with going from Lower Merion to Penn State. Well, not that at all, actually, but I was a regular sized dude at Lower Merion. I'm a tiny guy at Penn State.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they got a lot of those corn-fed dudes from the middle of the state.
Just
corn
people fed. Outside the bubble, pretty much. So, but you were a similar-sized guy in
yeah,
the clink?
Yeah, but, you know, in the clink, they don't really look at height as a thing. They look at size. And, like, in the sense that I'm, you know, a toothpick and skinny, and I don't really have muscles or anything like that. So,
But for volleyball, you kind of want that. You want somebody a little bit more agile. You don't want brute force as much.
Exactly.
As.
I was very agile. All the handball I played, all that cardio, I wish I kept it up. Now I play one game of handball, it's like I got beat up for a week, it feels like.
That's tough. Mm-hmm. Things change. You're getting older, too. All right, so who do you think are the top three players in the game right now?
Zach Gross. Not Gabe Yaski, the other Gabe.
Carry on.
Yeah, and Siebel.
Wow.
Siebel, wow.
It's coming on strong.
No,
really?
Tom Kelly or Gabe Yaski. Wow. That's strong words.
I mean,
Siebel hits
three.
Well.
Siebel's probably leading batting average, probably.
Yeah, and he doesn't really have as many errors, I think, as other people do.
Very confident batter and fielder.
Yeah.
All right, what are your thoughts on the music that plays during the games?
It's okay. Like, I like it when a funny song comes on. I mean, you know, it just kind of is what it is for me. I'm not going to be like, hey, let me come up and put songs on. Like, you know,
who's that impersonation?
We do have a.
That's just the impersonation of the guy who comes over and goes, "Hey, let me put songs on." Where it's just like, dude, we're hanging out and playing softball. Like, this isn't like a.
Listen to my demo.
This isn't a touch.
Listen
to
my demo.
Would you
man.
Put a decent song on there?
No.
There you go.
I'm not trying.
He had to say no. I'd say that's a big change.
I'm gonna put that on record.
You a couple years ago. You now. Before you would love to like have everyone listen to your stuff. Now you're
still
just a little bit. You got a little bit more.
I mean, I get excited about it, especially like the record I'm doing now. Like it doesn't sound like anything I've ever done before, and it sounds clean. And it's, you know, it's gonna be. I'm really excited about it in the sense that I've never been excited about my music before. So. And at the same time, I'm like, listen, if you want to listen, you're going to listen. I don't got to show you. If I'm excited about it and you say, hey, can we check it out? Yeah, we can check it out. I got some tracks right here. But, you know, other than that, I'm not trying to shove it down your throat. I make music for me. I don't make it for anybody else.
Wow, interesting. What'd you think about the fence at softball?
That's just a fucking crapshoot, man. Without this fence, it is going to check. First of all, I don't think there was a triple before there was no fence.
There was no triple without
the fence. Now that we don't have the fence, people are hitting two triples in a game. I mean, that doesn't say, you know, nothing against Matt Kay. Man can hit two triples, whatever, you know, but I never saw it before.
So what does that mean?
That means you like the fence or you don't like the fence?
I do like the fence. Because as soon as it, like, the ball can roll all the way back to the fucking wall.
Yeah.
And then you're fucked. You know, so.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, I think, I mean, I agree with you. Exactly. The fence kind of, you know, slows the game down a little bit or speeds it up. One of those things.
Well, it's like.
Spacing is an issue without the fence.
If you can hit it into the outfield and far enough. First of all, okay, so nobody gets a home run, I guess, if they hit it like
We've
that.
We've had home runs, though.
But they're hard. They're hard to come by.
It's absolutely harder.
It's hard to say.
You have to have speed and you have to hit it far. It's a combination.
Yeah.
Right, but like. You know, that's like, to me, then that's just an infield home run because it took somebody such a long time to get to the fucking
ball.
Yeah,
and they're almost always,
mean that you hit it
they're almost always dangerous. And it's cool to hit a home run. I wouldn't know, but I would think it's cool to do it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, all right. We're going to get you out of here on these three questions. First question, what would the Cody dog be? What would your themed hot dog be?
Cody dog would be just an add-on to the Texas Tommy. We're going to put onions.
So what's that reminder?
Texas Tommy is cheese and bacon on a hot dog.
Yes.
Now I'm going to want to put some onions on there.
Sure. Are we talking raw or?
Raw cooked? Onions, not cooked.
Okay.
Then we're going to put on a little bit of relish, a little bit of yellow mustard, maybe even a little bit of a little chili. Just like if you could put chili in a squirt bottle, no bean chili. I don't like beans. But just a squirt of chili on there as well. We're talking money. Maybe
well,
like,
you're talking diarrhea.
just a squirt of diarrhea.
Just a squirt of diarrhea along the dog. Give it a little flavor, a little zest. That sounds pretty good to me. I could go for one of those right now.
I could go for one of those right now, too.
Yeah, actually, that sounds really good.
Yeah, we're all buying. We're all buying the Cody dog.
Yeah.
All right, so what would your personal mascot be?
My personal mascot would probably be a big bottle of beer that just says... Butt slut on the label.
Butt slut.
God, that's great.
Okay.
What would your walk-up music be, Cody? What would get you in the mood for your batter?
I know I was supposed to think about this, but I don't know. Maybe like, you know, Red Morning Light, Kings of Leon or something.
Okay.
You know, something that's just, you know, drives or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You
got a little, yeah.
You
want
to sing it?
No.
Come on.
No. You know, not that song. Maybe what's number two on that Youth and Young Manhood? Don't give me no baby. Don't think of your daughter. That song.
Oh, Molly
Just
Chambers.
Court.
Molly Chambers.
No, it's not Molly Chambers. Happy Alone, I think it is.
Yeah.
Happy
right.
Alone.
You're right.
That song. Happy Alone. Kings of Leon.
I'm on your show. Yeah, you're right. You guys are right. All right. Well, due to, let's say, technical difficulties, Matt Kay is currently unavailable to come to the phone, but in place of him, we have the second or third best thing, Cody Wren's Big Ball of Hate. This is a segment where we talk about things we hate. So, Cody, take it away.
Number one, now this might not be softball related, but religion.
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 Cody
people.
Hates religion.
Religious.
Boo.
Religious people. Like, I mean.
Wait, you say religion or religious people?
Both. To me, it's the same thing. It's people who believe in religion, and what is a religion if people don't believe in it? So it goes hand in hand to me. But it's just, to me, it's like, come on. What year do we live in? We know so much now. And, like, it's just like, it's setting the world back. Like, let's just move forward, people. Come on. Like, let's get over this. You know, okay, the immortality dream, you live forever in some way. That's all it is. You're saying in some way, shape, or form, you are going to live forever. And you know what? just accept it.
People are nervous. I mean, it's you know, tools used to control the masses, and they're very successful. I think that the good aspect of religion are like soup kitchens and shit like that, and people not killing each other and setting up some sort of laws like that. I think that's fine. All right, thing that Cody hates, number two.
Facebook events that is like Korn is playing at Applebee's. Like, okay. All right, dude.
This is something I could get behind.
I fucking...
Yeah, fuck those things.
I fucking... I get it,
fuck
dude.
Fuck Everlast playing at the Kellogg.
It's funny. It's great. You know, whatever.
Is it still a thing, though?
I don't think it's really a thing.
But it was a thing for enough.
Yeah.
Matt K., he said he hated this. Okay? I'll say something about Matt K.
Are you finished with number two or are we moving on to three?
But, no, this is kind of number two.
2.5.
But, Matt K had a post like a man eating a fucking tuna sandwich. And I'm like, all right, great. You know what? I'm going to go because you're my friend. And I'll go to this fucking tuna sandwich eating thing. But even though no one's doing that, and it's just like, hey, look at this funny thing. And like, okay, whatever, I get it.
Boom.
Okay. Number three. We hate that.
Number three of things that I hate. I hate that skateboarding doesn't get enough credit.
what?
As a sport. Like, well, to me, like, if you're gonna...
I think it's... So, it's in the Olympics, I'm pretty sure.
It just got added. Yeah. It's gonna be in the Tokyo Olympics.
But have you watched, like, Street League or whatever?
Watched that.
Because it's awful. It's a terrible thing to watch.
First of all, I like watching it because I like skateboarding that much.
I like skateboarding a lot.
But isn't funneling skateboarding into an athletic thing that gets medals and things like that not the right way that you really want skateboard culture to propagate, right?
I don't necessarily... Like, that doesn't matter to me. But when people talk of, like... Sports people, baseball people, football people who aren't into skateboarding look down on skateboarding. They look at like, oh, it's like a subculture of people who are like out there probably smoking pot and like doing kickflips.
They kind of are.
Well, yeah, and that's all well and good, but like at the end of the day, an immense amount of skill goes into that sport. Either it being Bob Burnquist doing backflips over a mega ramp or somebody doing a 360 flip nose blunt down a handrail that they just found. Like, you have to skateboard for literally years on end to get that way. I looked at something on Facebook the other day, like, okay, somebody pulls a hamstring in baseball out for 4 weeks or something like that. Okay, a guy tries to hit a handrail and falls down and busts his head on the ground. One more try. Keep going. Like, you know, it's not the same thing, you know?
Okay, that's fine. Let's move on.
The stakes are different.
Yeah.
Cody hates the lack of respect skateboarding gets.
Number four, Cody.
Contact lenses. Just wear glasses, man. You're going to wear contacts. I get it. I just personally don't like them. The last thing I want to do when I wake up in the morning is touch my eyeball. And, I mean, I've tried...
That's the last thing you want to do?
That's the last thing I want to do. Okay. All right? Maybe give me in the middle of the day, I'll do it. But at the same time, I'll say this, like, you know, I...
Cody, this is a hate segment, not a, let me deal with my hate and see if I can...
Contact lenses is what we're saying.
I don't agree with contact lenses. Just, like, you know, whatever. You know, eventually everyone's just going to get LASIK anyway, so what's it matter?
Hey, the long-term effects, still to be determined.
All
right, let's round this out. Number five, one hate for the thumb.
I'm going to talk about something softball, I suppose.
Oh, okay.
I hate that there's no longer a fence. And now I know...
Oh, Jesus Christ. Now, why don't you do something about it? Why don't you be proactive about it?
I won't do anything about it. But
this segment isn't, I hate, this is, I'm going to solve it. This is just, we're just putting it out there.
Yeah.
Let the world
figure this
shit out.
I hate that there's no fence. I hate that Matt K. hates three triples.
I think he has three or four on the season as a result.
Yeah, because there's no fence, and that's horse shit. You know what I mean? Put some fucking stones out there. If it goes over the stone in the air, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Doesn't have to be a fence or whatever, but the fact that now that, like, okay, it gets hit into the outfield with somebody who, everybody always puts somebody in the outfield who isn't the best at the game, and then it gets hit to them. First of all, let's say that they have their glove in the air. They try to catch it. They miss it. All right, now it's missed. Now this person has to go run for the ball. And, you know, these people get more bases than they should because there's no fence.
All right, great. So that was Matt K's House of Hate brought to you by Cody. Buko, What do you give that segment?
I give it like a C-.
Bucco hates the segment, which is perfect. All right. thanks a lot. Thanks for listening. That was Softball Diaries episode 55 in the books.
Yeah. Hopefully see you guys Tuesday.
So Cody, you think that you're going to give two shits this year?
I might.
Keep on giving away, I'm giving it away.